Well, I'm excited this morning. I always love to preach Father's Day, and as we continue in the book of Acts, it is always interesting to see how the Lord lays things out and how this text this morning fits appropriately for a Father's Day message. So if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word, we're going to be in Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 13. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we have an opportunity to come into your house today to worship you, to celebrate who you are and what you have done, and Lord, now to hear from your word. I pray that you'd give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, a mind to believe, and a will to obey what you have for us today. Lord, I thank you for the fathers in the house this morning and pray blessing over them. And may we be men who listen and follow you all the days of our lives. Help me to preach plain and clear today. Lord, I do understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and his name that I do preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we are going through the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And we have seen the fulfillment of this go from Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. In Acts chapter 13, we do a shift. Now it goes to the ends of the earth. This is the Gentile mission. And this is where Antioch, the church that we read about in Acts chapter 11, becomes the sending church, the missionary sending church, so that the gospel may go forth to the ends of the earth. Now, in this church in Antioch, we're introduced to some men, and I think it's interesting to look at these men. There's some prophets and teachers there. We have men in this church who are committed to the preaching and the teaching of God's word. That's always a good thing when you have godly men who are able to preach and teach the word of God. Amen. And so this church has a group of men that are faithfully preaching, declaring the word of God. The gospel's going out, and they're teaching people about how to faithfully follow Jesus. And when we look at these men, also there are an interesting group. And so Barnabas was a Levite. More than likely, he was a Jewish priest, a Jew from the diaspora that had went out. Simeon was a black man who was a distinguished leader in the church. Lucius of Cyrene was from Cyprus. And so in Acts chapter 11, it says some men of Cyprus came down to teach the church. So it's likely that Lucius was a missionary, and his name is Latin, which means he more than likely had a Roman cultural background. Manaen, he was a Hellenistic Jew who was good friends with Herod the Tetrarch. This means he more than likely would be considered like a prince. He was wealthy. He was powerful. He was a man of influence. And then the last teacher mentioned is Saul, who we know as Paul, who was a Pharisee of Pharisees and a persecutor of the church. And I bring that to our attention for this. When we look at these group of men in the church of Antioch, they are a diverse group of men. They have different socioeconomic backgrounds. They have different cultural backgrounds. They have some different religious backgrounds. And they have different racial backgrounds. But yet they're all able to come together and work together. Why? Where is the unity? How are they unified? They're unified under the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus unites us. You know why? Because we're all sinners in need of a Savior, and that Jesus is the one true God who came to die for our sin, and that we all need repentance, and we all need to have faith in Jesus, and that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, guess what, will be saved. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, you're white or black, if you're from this nation or that nation, or you have a high esteem and established in the community, or you're lowly peasant. Everyone is welcome to the grace of God who will call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And that's where we're united. And when I think about this group of men, it makes me smile and it makes me laugh. Why? Because when I look at Living Water Church, I say, man, that looks like us, you know? We got some diversity here. We've got people from different racial backgrounds, different socioeconomic backgrounds, different cultural backgrounds. We got some foreigners among us from Eastern Kentucky, you know? We speak a different language, and God is using this diverse group of people, and we all are united. Why? Because we center everything we do on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we realize that there is one God, his name is Jesus, and he came to die to take away our sin. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I was lost, but now I'm found. And guess what? I want as many people out there who do not know Jesus to come to know Jesus. And we can rally behind that, can't we? And we can be united in that. And so these men, they were passionate about making sure that the gospel was going forth. And while they were gathering together and they were preaching and they were teaching, they were also doing a couple things. They were worshiping the Lord and they were fasting. We also see in just a little bit down, they were praying and fasting, worshiping. These men were not ashamed to worship the Lord. Guys, dads, husbands, we need to be men who are unashamedly adamant about worshiping the Lord. Amen. That we are not ashamed to let people know that we are men of faith, that we love the Lord Jesus. And we are to model that in our lives. When we come into the house of God, we're to lift up our voices and sing, and we're to worship him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's one reason why we don't dismiss our kids from the very beginning of the church. You know, you go to some churches where, you know, they have their own children, and they immediately, as soon as you get in, boom, check them into their own station, and all the children, they do their thing, and then all the adults do their thing. We think it's valuable for our kids to see their daddies worship God. We think it's valuable for our children to see our mamas worshiping God. We think it's valuable for the grandkids to see their grandparents worshiping God. Fathers, we lead by example, and we teach our children that we're not ashamed to praise the Lord. We will give him thanks, we will give him honor, we will give him recognition, and we will praise him, and we will worship him. And we don't only just do it on Sunday, but we do it all through the week. We're examples that we set before our kids. They need to see you praying. You need to pray with them, and they also need to see you praying. Deuteronomy says that the household is where the discipleship is. Now we as a church, we are committed as much as we can to teach your children, my children, the things of God. And we have great curriculum, and we have opportunities for your children to learn about the Lord and how to know the Lord and who Jesus is. And we've got multiple things, our youth and all these different places for your kids to learn. But can I tell you that the primary disciple-making place is in your home. You, mom and dad, are the primary disciple makers for your children. And fathers and mothers, you all need to set the example. They need to see you reading the Bible. They need to see you reading the Bible as much as you are on your phone doing this. They need to see you spending time with the Lord. Not only do you need to lead them in devotions and read with them and pray over them, they need to see you. You need to set the example. Fathers, you need to set the example of your home of what it means to be a man who worships God and who prays, who fasts. Because when these men were praying and worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit says to them, set aside Saul and Barnabas and send them out. The Holy Spirit said to them, set aside Saul and Barnabas and send them off. Now let's stop. Let's don't miss this. The Holy Spirit spoke and they what? They heard. They heard the voice of the Holy Spirit speak. Why? Because they were in position to hear from God. Are we in position? Do we make ourselves, do we place ourselves in position to hear from God? Fathers, how often do you have quiet time with the Lord? How often are you reading the Bible? How often are you setting aside time, maybe to skip a meal or two? Wouldn't hurt most of us, would it? Amen, glory. Did I say that out loud? I was thinking it, but I didn't know I said it. To set aside time to hear from God. To make our spiritual life a priority, that I am going to be a man of God who is led by the Word of God, and that when He speaks, I listen and I follow. Thank God for these men in Antioch who were together worshiping, praying, living out, preaching, teaching. They were sensitive to what God was saying. The Holy Spirit sent them off. They got to go. The work needs to continue. And they sent them off. And it says, and then after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and they sent them off. They were sent out to live out the faith. They were sent out to carry on the message of the gospel. I pray, and here's what I believe. I believe with all my heart that God is going to raise up some of our young boys to become pastors one day. I believe He's going to raise up our young girls to do mighty things for the kingdom one day. And I believe that God's going to send them out, and we as a church, we're going to recognize God's calling on their life, and we're going to send them out to do great things for the glory of God. Amen. We need to be a church that cultivates that, that prays over them, that leads them, that teaches them, that shows them, so that when God begins to speak and He begins calling people out to do God's purpose, that we bless them and we help them and we celebrate with them. Amen. Now, even if we don't send our children out to be missionaries or pastors or whatever, there's going to be a time in every one of our lives where we're going to send our kids out to the world, right? So, like, I can't believe that Caleb is going to be a freshman next year. Like, it just blows me away. I'm like, time goes by so quickly. And so as we're raising Caleb and Micah, our goal as parents, me and Michelle, our goal as parents is not to raise children. We're trying to raise young men and women. And so that means at age 18, they may go off to college. And then by the time they're 22, they need to be looking at getting married. I believe we wait way too long in our culture for people to get married. That's just my opinion. You can disagree with me or you want, but I think the great grandparent is going to be it's going to be extinct here in a moment, because we're all waiting until we're 30 and 35 to get married. Anyway, I digress. Help me get back. And so we're raising young men and women to leave the house, that we don't expect them to come and live with us the rest of their life, and to be productive for the kingdom of God. So whether they go into vocational ministry or not, they're going into ministry because they're going to be living for the Lord the rest of their life. That's the goal, right? That we raise our kids to love the Lord and serve Him all the days of their life. And we're going to send them out. And we're going to be sending them out of our house one day. And the question we got to ask ourselves as fathers, have I invested in my children the way that I should so that when they come of age and I send them off, I've equipped them with what they need to succeed in life? Have I empowered them with the truth of God's word? Have I set an example before them how to be a man of God? Am I ready and able to send them off with a blessing and say, go out and do the work of God? Man, what would that look like if the majority of fathers in this nation would have a mindset like that? One of the greatest problems that we have as a nation is fatherless homes. Oh, that God would raise up a generation of men who will say, we will teach and instill our kids the things of God. Now, I'm on the ball fields and I'm on in the courts and I'm with kids and I help them learn how to throw a ball, catch a ball, kick a ball, hit a ball, you know, all that good stuff, support Caleb and his music and drama and all that good stuff. And that's all fine and dandy. But guess what, Father? If you're not investing with them how to read the Word of God, follow the Word of God, love the Lord God, if you're investing more time in showing them how to throw a ball than how to live for the glory of God, you're failing. You need to be a father who pours into your kids the things of God, or a grandfather who pours into the grandkids the things of God. Amen? So these men are sent off, and they're sent off. The Holy Spirit, verse 4, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit sends people, the Holy Spirit calls people, God calls people into the ministry, we don't, the church doesn't, the church only affirms what God has done, okay? I don't call anybody in ministry, I think God's called you into ministry, nope. God calls people into ministry and then we can affirm that. They affirm that, laid their hands, blessed them, and they sent them to Seleucia, and from there, they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived there, what did they immediately do? They began proclaiming the Word of God. What do we see over and over in the book of Acts? What are they committed to? Preaching the Word of God. Declaring the gospel. Telling the good news that there is a living hope. That there is a Jesus who is Savior of the world. Now, when they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they came upon a certain magician. Now, here we go. They enter into wickedness. Every time you go out in the world, you're going to face evil. Amen? There's evil around us. There's wickedness around us. When our kids leave the house, we're sending them to college, they're going to face evil and wickedness. When you take a job and you go into a workplace, you're going to face what? Evil and wickedness. In this world, you will have tribulation. Fear not, I have overcome the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So we will face attacks from Satan. And so it says, here's Paul and Silas. They're going to proclaim the word of God. They've been sent out by the power of the Holy Spirit. And here comes somebody to try to hinder the work of God. So they came upon a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. Now he was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. He was a man of intelligence who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. So you have this man who wants to hear more of what Saul and Barnabas are saying. He's wanting to know about the gospel. And then you have this guy that's kind of works for him, that's been going around with him, who doesn't like the idea that his boss may come to faith. And so he seeks Saul and Barnabas to come because he wants to hear more about the gospel. But Elymas, the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, he opposed them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. See that? So you have this one guy trying to hinder another man from coming to faith in Jesus. You do realize there are some people, they don't want you to get your life right with God. They don't want you to come to faith in Jesus. Some of you, you've experienced this testimony. Some of you have been brought out as some extreme addiction, and you've been saved. And some of your buddies, they weren't giving you applause. They weren't like, man, we're so happy for you. That's wonderful, great. And no, some of you experienced this. They kind of like laughed and said, you know, yeah, that church thing, I've tried that once before, and it'll wear off. It'll wear off, you know. Can I tell you, if your faith wears off, you have no faith. If your faith can wear off, you never had faith. But there'll be some who will try to convince you, you don't need to trust in Jesus. You don't need to go to church. You don't need that. And there'll be some people who hinders. There's some people, they do not want you to get your life straight. Some of you've got friends you need to cut loose from. Their life's miserable, and guess what? They want your life to be miserable. Their life's in a ditch or headed to a ditch. Guess what? They want your life in a ditch. Misery loves company. And so here's this man. He's trying to hinder the gospel from being proclaimed to this man. But Saul, I like this. This guy didn't know who he's about to encounter, does he? But Saul, who was called Paul, was what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, here we go. Oh, man, here we go. Here this guy, he comes in, he's trying to hinder, he's trying to stop Saul from preaching the word of God. And it says, but Saul, who's known as Paul, we'll call him Paul from now on, was full of the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, a sold out follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, a man of God that had one aim on his mission, and that was to please and glorify and honor Jesus. Oh, that we would have fathers, dads, that we would have husbands, that we've had men who made it this one aim, that I would live to glorify and honor Jesus. That my faith in Christ means everything to me, and I'm walking and living my life according to the things of God. I'm loving my wife like Christ loved the church. I'm honoring and developing my children. Oh, for a group of men full of the Holy Spirit, Living Water Church. That needs to be our go. That we are men full, controlled, led, filled, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he looks intently at him. He looks this man right in the face. He's not intimidated. He's not afraid. He looks this man right in the face, and he declares power over him. He says, "You son of the devil." You see, he was known, his nickname that he probably gave himself is Bar-Jesus. Bar-Jesus means son of Joshua, son of salvation. And Paul lets him know real quickly, you're no son of salvation, you're son of damnation. You are a son of the devil, you are an enemy of all righteousness, you are full of all deceit and villainy. Will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? He calls him out. He says, enough is enough. No, I will not hear what you're saying. I will not stop proclaiming the word of God. You are a son of the devil, and you are always deceiving and deceptive. You're an enemy of all things that are right and pure, and you're always trying to make crooked what God has made straight. How much of the world is doing this exact same thing? How much do we hear our world try to confuse our youth and even our adults of what is right and what is holy and what is pure? We have media outlets, we have philosophy, we have education that is straight from the devil. And we need men who will stand up and say, enough is enough. That is wrong, that is wicked, that is sinful, that is evil, and it needs to go. How many times does our world try to confuse the message of the gospel? God makes it so straight and simple that we are sinners in need of a Savior, that Jesus died on a sin, died on a cross for our sin, and he rose again on the third day, that whoever calls upon him will be saved. How complicated is that? Why does the world and religion try to confuse that and make crooked what God makes straight? We need some fathers who are not intimidated by wickedness and evil, and who look it straight in the face and rebuke it and say, not here, not in my home. We have men who struggle with alcohol. For some, it has led them down to dangerous paths. There are few that I have visited in our jails because of what it has done to their life. And so they need to say, it stops now. When the alcohol is offered or when they are tempted to bring it into their home, they say, you son of a devil, you're not coming into my house. We have a drug epidemic problem in our county. We have some addicted to pills, addicted to drugs, addicted to all of these things. That's not bringing life, it's bringing death. It's making crooked what God makes straight. And you need to say, you son of a devil, it's not coming into my house. You're not destroying my life. You're not getting a hold of me. You're not getting a hold of me so that you ruin my marriage, you ruin my job, you ruin my career, and you ruin my kids. It's not coming in my house. We have folks out there committing adultery, sleeping with people they're not married to, thinking nothing wrong about just their sexual immorality. Some can't control their phone. They can't control what they look at and the images of their phone or the text that they send out to people. If you can't handle your phone, then you look at it and you say, you son of a devil, you're not getting into my house. And if you need to take a hammer and smash it and go get you an old-fashioned phone, you go do that, because you say, I'm not letting you in my house to destroy what God has set up for my life. It's time to stop. It's time to stop playing with evil, playing with wickedness, playing in the backyard of the devil's playground. It's time to be men of God, full of the Holy Spirit, that when the wickedness comes your way, you say, not here, not now, not in my home, not in my life, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Paul just rebukes this man. He says, I'm preaching the gospel. You're not going to stop me from preaching the gospel. In fact, he says, and behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time. And immediately mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. The judgment of God fell on this man, made him helpless and hopeless. Sin will destroy your life. Sin will make you travel farther than you ever wanted to travel, make you stay longer than you ever planned to stay, and make you pay more than you ever thought you'd pay. It has consequences that are destructive. And ultimately, if it's not dealt with, it has eternal consequences. But grace be unto God, praise be unto God, he offers grace, forgiveness, and mercy. One man missed it. Another man got it. Then the proconsul, what did he do? Believed when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. When this guy saw what happened, and he heard the message of the gospel, and he saw Paul's bold stance, and he saw the judgment fall upon the magician, he believed, and he was what? Saved. Redeemed, forgiven, and set free. This morning, the desire for God is this, that you be saved. The desire for God is that you would be saved. But now Satan is the enemy who tries to blind your eyes to the truth of the gospel. And we're going to have an invitation, and we're going to have an opportunity to respond and call upon the name of the Lord. And if you have never trusted in Jesus, if you have never trusted in Christ and confessed your sin and called upon him, this morning when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and draws you, your appropriate response is to come and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Do not allow the enemy to lie and deceive you and have you stay right where you are for another second. That's why the Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, today is the day of salvation. The time to respond is now. And for those who have professed faith in Jesus and called upon him, we need to position ourselves to hear from the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, empower me, embolden me, equip me, help me to be the man, the woman of God that you send out to live out. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we have an opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, I pray for the fathers in the house today. Lord, number one, if they have never professed faith in you and they've never trusted in you for salvation, that today you would speak to their heart, that you would call them from death to life. Lord, if there's any man, woman, or child that's never professed faith, today would you speak? Father, we rebuke the lies of the enemy that might be trying to speak right now to people's hearts, that God can't forgive me, or I'm past the point of no return, or I've got next week, or, you know, I don't need to repent. Whatever the lies that might be being said right now, we rebuke those in the name of Jesus. We ask that the Holy Spirit might move and speak and transform and change hearts. Lord, have your work be accomplished in our lives, and may we give you glory and praise, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.